So we have a Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak of Megillah. Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis, you have in the second packet. In the middle of Chaf Vav Amud Beis, Maseches Megillah, Tanu Rabbanan, Tashmishe Mitzvah Nizrakin, Tashmishe Kedusha Nignazin. The Brisa says sometimes what we call Shemus. Some things have to go into Shemus, some things don't have to go into Shemus. The Gemara doesn't call it Shemus, the Gemara calls it Geniza. Geniza versus Zrika. Some things have to be buried, have to be nignazim. If they're used for kedusha, they have to go into Geniza. If they're just used for mitzvos, Megillah Chavav and Beis, then they may be thrown away when the mitzvah is over. The Gemara goes on to give examples of each. Tashmishe mitzvah are things such as sukkah, lulav, shofar, and tzitzis. While tashmishe kedusha are things used for svarim, for sifrei Torah, for tefillin, for mezuzahs, for tzuas of tefillin, the tefillin bag, those items are not merely tashmishe mitzvah, they're not merely things that service a mitzvah, they're things that actually are tashmishe kedusha, they service kedusha. Be a lovely, marvelous sugya for a different time, perhaps, is why do we differentiate, but to make a long story, because after all, they're all tashmishe mitzvah, tefillin is also a mitzvah, and mezuzah is also a mitzvah, so why do we call those tashmishe mitzvah? And isn't it a holy thing to shake a lulav? Isn't it a very holy thing to sit in a sukkah? But to make a long story short, there's a prime revelation, and there's a rav, there's a lot going on in this discussion, but to make a long story short, it seems pretty clear that the tashmishe kedusha are things that are connected to ksav shel Torah. Say for Torah, tefillin and mezuzah are certainly used for mitzvahs, but beyond being used for mitzvahs, they involve pieces of Torah. Say for Torah has the entire Chemesh Shechum Shei Torah, and obviously tefillin and mezuzah have excerpts, two or four parshas of Torah, and as such, that gives them a permanent kedusha. So even after it's no longer being used for the mitzvah, because the ritzuas are too worn out, let's say, or the mantle is torn, cracked, and our can't or won't be repaired. So, but even after it's decommissioned, but since it was used in service of kedusha of a piece of Torah, so it gives this item permanent kedusha even after it's no longer in service, and that's why because that's permanent kedusha, you have to treat it with the respect that kedusha deserves, and you have to be gonez it. You cannot throw it in the garbage, even in a polite way. While say for by sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis, they are tashmishe mitzvah. They were used for a mitzvah. B'shas mitzvasan, you have to treat them with a certain kedusha. But once the zman ha-mitzvah is over, sukkahs is over, no longer using the lulav for the mitzvah. The shofar cracked, or Rosh Hashanah is over, not planning to use it again next year, whatever it is. So that's not a tashmish kedusha, it's merely a tashmish mitzvah, because it wasn't connected to Torah. So it had this temporary kedusha called the man ha-mitzvah. But now that the mitzvah is over, what do you do with a sukkah that tears and breaks and you're going to get rid of it? Do you put it to Shemus? No. What happens with tzitzis? When they tear and rip and you're not going to fix them or use them? How do you dispose of them? Do you put them to Shemus? No. That's a common misconception. You do have to throw them in the garbage in a polite way. You should not, halacha l'maaseh, you should not take the tzitzis and throw them into the kitchen garbage together with the chicken bones. You put them in a bag, and then you put them in the kitchen garbage. Or you put them in the office garbage, clean garbage, paper, whatever. But then they go in the garbage. They can't go in a, again, going back to the Gemara Shabbos, Chaveh, you can't be mevazah the mitzvah. Bizui mitzvah is a problem. But okay, but you can get rid of it. It has no kedusha left. Which in fact takes us back to that line that Shmuel had on Shabbos Daf Chav Beis. When Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi made the comment on Shabbos Chav Beis that you're not allowed to count money la'or haner, us la'artos ma'os k'neged ner Chanukah, what Shmuel said, wrong! Shmuel said, of course you can count money la'or ner Chanukah. Why? What was his language? V'chi ner kedusha yeshbo. Is there kedusha to the ner? No! It's just a tashmish mitzvah. To which Rav Yosef responds, no, you're right, Shmuel. It's not kadosh.
It's not tefillin. It's not a sefer Torah or a different type of kedusha. It's not ma'aser sheni or truma, but it's a tashrish mitzvah, and as such, it doesn't have that sort of kedusha. But you have to show it covered. Bizui mitzvah is inappropriate. Right. That's as he goes on to say, Avuhon dechul hudam. Rav Yosef himself says later on the Amud, later on Shabbos Chabez Amalv, Avuhon dechul hudam. The father of all them, meaning the source for the notion of the Isser Bizayon mitzvah throughout all sorts of mitzvahs, the original source, the Abba of all the toldos, is dam. Is that drasha v'shafach bechisa, that just as you shecht, that tells me that you have to do kisya adam with your hand. You shecht with your hand, that's because physically you need your hands to shecht. But kisya adam with your hand, that's not because it won't work otherwise. It could work with your foot. But you do kisya adam with your hands because to do with your foot be a bizarre mitzvah. So that drasha that Yosef quotes on Chabei Zaman Alf and Shabbos is a source for the concept of bizarre mitzvah, of avoiding bizarre mitzvah, in the context of kisya adam, in the context of sukkah and elsewhere, and in the context of Ner Chanukah. So Ner Chanukah does not have Kedusha. Gemara says on Shabbos of Chabez Malf. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah, a Tashrish mitzvah, right? Consistent with Megillah Daf Chavav, which then makes you wonder, one second, what is the She'ilta saying? She'ilta Rosh, we saw yesterday, the Rosh in Perek Bey Simen Tes of Masech HaShabbos, quotes in the She'ilta. Then we have the leftover Ner Shemen. I know that you use the leftovers of night one for night two. You can use leftovers of night three for night four. Probably the leftovers from night eight. We're done with Ner Chanukah for the year. The Shiltas had a big chiddush. What was his chiddush? The Psak Halach Lamaisa? You got to get rid of it. Osulo Madur Befnasma. You have to make a separate fire. I mean, not the fire that I'm using for lighting my house, not the fire that I'm using for cooking supper, separate bonfire outside just for destroying it. So Lamaisa, we have other ways of disposing of oil also. You probably could just put it in a container and put it in the garbage. But you can't use it for your own purposes. Why ever not? What's wrong? After his mom, it's fussed up. Mom is garnished. It's a bizarre. If I had a tzitzis, right? So I have tzitzis, and the tzitzis had strings tear. So I can't wear the four-cornered garment without tzitzis because that's a violation of the mitzvah of tzitzis. But I don't know if I want to use it for something else. I want to use it to make something with it. If it's a bizarre, it's a bizarre. If it's not a bizarre, use it some other use. You know. What would that be? To make a wall hanging? I don't know. Make artwork? Is that a bizayon? If that's not a bizayon, why not? So what's the shilta saying? I can't use oil to light to illuminate my house the next night? Why ever not? Very strange. So the Rav Bitzal Zsolti in his Sefer Mishnas Yavis discusses this shiltos and says what we were talking about yesterday. If you want to know who Bitzal Zsolti is, one of the Gedolei HaRabbanim Yerushalayim. You might not have heard of him, but let me introduce him in the following way. And many years ago, I was sitting in Mordechai Willig's office, and he had on his in the Swarm Shrank in the office, in the shelves, he had an old Torah journal. I took down the Torah journal, I forget the title, but it was put out by the Kollel, by Rav Zsolti's Kollel. So you open up and you see who's writing articles. So it says, Rav Bitzal Zsolti is the Rosh Kollel. And then there were articles from the members of the Kollel. Who were the quote unquote the guys? Who are the younger lights in Rav Zsolti's Kollel? Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Avadya Yosef, maybe also Yosef Shlomo Yashiv, a couple other famous names. Before they were Harav, and they were young married fellows, he was their Rosh Kollel, just to sort of frame who Rav Zsolti was. His Talmidim became more famous than at this point than he. But it gives you a sense of he was a Talmud Chacham of great stature. So if you want to take a look at the piece inside, there are three volumes of Mishnas Yavetz. One is on Yerodea, one is on Chosh Mishpat, and one is an Archaim specifically on Moadim. I believe the Moadim volume is actually Shiurim that he gave in Yerushalayim Yontiftah. he'd give public shiurs. He'd give public shiur. So over the years, he gave over 70 public shiurim between different Yom Tovim that were published in this volume. So this is, if you're looking in this sefer Mishnas Yavis Arachaim, it's Simon Ayin Gimel, the first piece on the first article on Hanukkah topics. So he points out. I'm sorry, he does not point out the Shultz. He does point out the Baal HaMa'or and the writer. That what? That the Baal HaMa'or is developing an idea of Zecher Lemenor Shavim Mikdash. Reb Shechter is the one who in a shir connected the Shultz. Now, what's this idea of Zecher Lemenor Shemesh that we saw yesterday? The Shilto says, and that's again the Baal HaMor says. Baal HaMor says Zecher Lemenor Shemesh, and the Ran quotes him to explain how the Chiner Kedusha Yeshbo. And Shmuel asks, "How can you ask for Arutz Malos Laraner? The white throne counting my Laraner?" He also says, "No. It's Bizarre Mitzvah." The Baal HaMor argues, but the Gemara in the earlier Abad on Chaf Aleph was saying, "Asur l'shtamish la'ora is you can't even do even tashmish kedusha." The machlok is mutar l'shtamish la'ora, asur l'shtamish. The machlok is on Daf Chaf Aleph, according to Baal HaMor, is within the psak of Rav Yosef on Chaf Beis. Of course, you can't count money la'ora because it's bizarre mitzvah. The question is, how about tashmish kedusha? How about that? Says the Baal HaMor, oh, that must be a new issue. What's the issue? That Pioneer would have Kedusha. Why, ironically? Why? Well, not actual Kedusha, but Midrabanan, we give it some sort of status of Tashmishe Kedusha, in a sense, because it's Zecher le Menorah Shel Mikdash. The Menorah and the Mikdash, the oil in the Menorah of the Mikdash obviously was. That was Hektish. That was bought with Machzor Shekel money. That was Mamish real Hektish. So we like our menorah, Zecher LeMikdash. Okay. So we also, b'drabanan, in this case, Chazal said, not only are we going to ask you to do an activity that's like the mikdash, you're even going to give the oil some of the status. A b'drabanan will treat a little bit of the way you would treat the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. That concept of Zecher LeMikdash, number one, it has several expressions. To say that the menorah, that our Neres Chanukah are patterned after the menorah of Mikdash, so how many ways do we see that play itself out? Number one, in terms of Aser L'Hishtamish La'ora, right? The Baal HaMor. Number two, in terms of Mosar Shemen Shebenir, the leftover end of Chanukah, the She'iltos, right? I think I mentioned yesterday, Nusach HaBracha, how you say brachos on mitzvahs is a thorny question. I don't want to get into that sugya, that's a whole world in its own right, Pesachim Daf Zayim, but Mara Makom Anilach, it was in the Mara Makomos also, the Ravid in Maseches Brachos, Yura Aleph, I think it was Tes Vav or Tes Zayim?
Tes Vav.
So he relates the Nusach HaBracha of a Hatak Ner Chanukah to, it doesn't follow the rules, but they use that bracha because that's the bracha they used to, it's a long line of the bracha that the Kohen used to say in the Beis HaMikdash. So it sounds like the writer said it. Wow. Okay. What else? What else flows from this Neres Chanukah, you know, menorah equation? So let me tell you to psakim of particular achronim, and then we'll expand this and add a new dimension. What would you say about using electric light for Ner Chanukah? Or what would you say? So the Popper says no. Or what would you say about using a Bunsen burner for Ner Chanukah? That shaila comes up a little less frequently. But let's say I use, you know, when you go to the catered affair, sometimes they have those trays on top of, whatchamacallit? the Schaefers are called, and the name is eluding me, but you have them on a frame, and below you have two cans of fuel that you light. There's no wick, it's just fuel. It's just fuel on fire. Okay. If you have shemen without a psila, or you have an electric bulb, an old-fashioned incandescent bulb, which is absolutely considered to be a ner, it's considered fire up within. It's actually the malacha of mavir, to light, to heat metal until it glows. Rama writes is a malacha of mavir, making a fire. And that's why it's assumed that an electric bulb, an incandescent bulb, is considered to be a ner. You can be yotze ner Shabbos with it, you can be yotze havdalah with it. However, the Beis Yitzchak, not the Torah journal of Bayou, but earlier, the Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, Shilas and Shuvah's Beis Yitzchak, he says, but not Ner Chanukah, because he says, for Ner Chanukah, you require Psila v'shemen. It has to be distinguishable wick and fuel. If you just have wick with no tangible fuel, like a filament that has electricity running through it, or if you have fuel without a wick, like a canister of fuel or a Bunsen burner, so then he says, there might be an air, but it's not good for Hanukkah because it's not Dumya, the Menorah Shel Mikdash. Menorah Shel Mikdash had both Psila and Shemen, so we too, for the menorah, he argues, need Psila and Shemen. Bunch of hands up. Avraham?
He
says that the oil that's left over at the end of, after Hanukkah is done, cannot be used for secular purposes. You have to just dispose of it.
Okay. So, piggybacking on that, is that supposed to say
notar, shaman, shaman? Musar, yeah, leftover. Not mutar.
Okay.
That's why I put the, yes, that's right. It is a little confusing. Musar, shaman, shaman, yeah.
Yeah. Keith. Yeah, so how come, first of all, how come we're allowed to, how come the whole concept of Hanukkah menorah is viewed like one wicked day? Still meant to be Zeichar Mikdash. How come 7 out of the 8?
That's an excellent, excellent, excellent question.
And also,
let's come back to that too. Yeah.
And also, yeah,
any questions about this in particular? I have a question about understanding. See the little shaman? I want to come back to your point. About 7. About 7. Yeah. About 7.
Do we have sources in the Gemara that indicate that
it's
some sort of
Zeta
Mikdash, or is it just regenerative? Sort of
well, yeah, that's a good question. We'll get that soon also.
Also, we can have one candle as the basement, so that looks nothing like
Renar or Basement
Dash.
That's what Akiva just asked. It's a good question. We'll get that soon also. Okay, so far we have four nafkaminas. Let me add a fifth, and then let's talk about the question that you're raising. The Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer, Rav Schefter tells the story about how the Rav didn't like the fact that he was being machmir with Avnei Nezer. He tells us only he can tell us. I won't tell that way. Tom covered. But the Avnei Nezer has a chumrah. Rav Remel of Sachachov, the Shuas has a chumrah that has to be. I mentioned before soda can menorahs. We're talking about soda can menorahs. I have the memories when I was your age, there were older guys in Tarvadas who were dorming, and for their Hanukkah, they would buy a can of soda every day, every afternoon. And if you turn a can, if you finish it off and turn it upside down, you can fit a surprising amount of oil into the underside of the cans.
Does it matter if you finish it?
It lights.
I thought you were saying
that.
Well, you don't want it. Yeah.
It can light, I think, for hours. It's a lot of oil. It's surprisingly capacious. So let's do that every day. You wouldn't want to drink soda. Stop us like this. You actually want the soda, just of course the shame. So, I drink soda can. If you can't have soda every day, so I have another can to add. I have one can the first night, two cans the second night, three cans the third night. So, hither mitzvah it's not. Okay, there are nicer menorahs out there. Okay. But the question is, leaving aside hither mitzvah, let's say I'll decorate, I'll make it very pretty. I don't remember anyone doing that. But let's say I'll paint it, I'll spray paint, I'll make it nice. So, Avinezer of the opinion that the all if you're being doing mahadrin, you're lighting more than one nair, all of the nairos, or mahadrin rather, all of the nairos have to be in a single kli. It doesn't help to have separate lamps side by side on the table. They have to either be mamish connected, or at the very least, you could have, let's say, a tray with a lip that comes up so that all of the lamps are contained within a single kli. But that was an idea also based on the idea of Dumya the Menorah Shem Mikdash, because that is very clear in the Chumash that there's even more so, Mamash Miksha Achas has to be originally formed together. We're not machmer like that. The Avnei said at least it should be, in some sense, all the nair should be within a single kli. Question of understanding?
Yeah, like what if it's taped together?
Maybe that'd be good. Now, these are a lot of ideas of Zecher LeMikdash. Now, the truth is the Gemara talks about this idea of Zecher LeMikdash. That is a Gemara. Number one, the overall concept of Zecher LeMikdash is definitely a Gemara. We'll get to this specifically soon also. The overall concept of Zecher LeMikdash is a Gemara based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, I believe. In your today's package, Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the first Amud Aleph in the last parak of Rosh Hashanah, Mishnah says, it's talking about different takanas of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Nasi who presided over the pre and post Churban era, Churban Bayis Sheni. But Rishona, and from the Agatas and Gittin, the critical role he played in attempting to negotiate with Vespasian during the siege, Roman siege of Yerushalayim, and afterwards he was the one who got them Yavne, and he was the first leader in Yavne, and he made a number of takanas that helped Klal Yisrael transition into continuing to be connected to Torah mitzvahs and Rebbe Shalom even without a Beis HaMikdash. How are we going to be Jewish? How are we going to do keep mitzvahs without a Beis HaMikdash? So one of the takanas he made was Barishon Ha'iluv Nita B'Mikdash Shiva, the mission of the Banav Olam Nava Alfa Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Originally, Luluv, what you'd Nitiyos Luluv was all 7 days only in the Mikdash, B'Medin Yom Echad. It used to be, the Dindar Isa, the Lulav all over the world is only in Yontif of Sukkot. Chalmoid, Lulav and Chalmoid is only in Mikdash. Smachna Lufnei Hashem Lekechem Shivas Yamim. That's Lufnei Hashem, in Beis HaMikdash. But normally we say, Ulakachtim Lechem Bayom HaRishon. So outside of Lufnei Hashem, outside of Beis HaMikdash, the Dindar Isa of Lulav is only day one. But Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, that used to be the Din, that used to be the practical Lachol Maisa, until the Churban Bayis Sheni. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Hichtiskim Yochum and Zakai Shei Lulav Nitel B'Medina Shiva. What we do, we meet Rabbanu, we shed Lulav throughout Chol Moed. Why, says the Mishnah? Zecher LeMikdash. Gemara says right away, what does Zecher LeMikdash mean? I mean, to remember the Mikdash, but where did that concept fall from? Where did that concept come from? Minolam Dabdin Zecher LeMikdash, Gemara says, a pasuk in the Yirmiyahu, yes, in the third chapter, 30th chapter of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu complains, Sion hi dorei she'en la. Look at Sion. No one cares. No one is dorei Sion. The Gemara says, Mechlal, the Bayad Risha. Obviously, the implication is, we ought to be dorei Sion. And it's a problem if we're not being dorei Sion. If B'mikdash is not in our mind, if Yerushalayim is not in our mind, if Churban is not in our mind, we should be thrilled. Practically frightened, but there should definitely be uncertain as to what the future holds. But we should be tingling the fact that for the first time in how long? When was the last time that any of the Umos HaOlam recognized Eretz Yerushalayim's status as a capital of the Jewish state? Maybe during the period of the Hashmonaim? Maybe you have to go back to the Malchut Beis Dadin. Reb Shechter has a beautiful article, just as a very brief aside, in Yonah D'Yoma. Reb Shechter has a very, very beautiful Lamdasha article in Bik Vatzon, where he develops the idea that there are two dinim in Yerushalayim, Al Pi Halacha. Yerushalayim is the spiritual capital of Eretz Yisrael, that's why it's a Makom Mikdash. Yerushalayim is, Al Pi Halacha, supposed to be the ideal political capital of Eretz Yisrael. That's why there's a din, the Malchut Beis Dadin, are always supposed to be centered. That's not just that wasn't just a question of expediency or of custom. That was a din. Malchut Beis Dadin was supposed to be as part of the double bechirat Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a spiritual center. Yerushalayim is a political center. And he points out that's pshat and why we say the bracha of Rachem, the third bracha of Benchin, has what seem like two unrelated themes: Beis HaMikdash and Malchut Beis Dadin. Both important, but what do they have to do with each other? The answer is because it's really the second bracha is by Eretz Yisrael. The third bracha is a bracha by Yerushalayim. That's why the nusach, the chasima is Bonei Yerushalayim or Bnei Berachamah of Yerushalayim. It's a really bracha by Yerushalayim. So that's the unifying theme of the third bracha, and it talks that bracha Mimela expands on both aspects of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim as the place of Mikdash, and Yerushalayim as the place, the ideal center of Malchus Yisrael. This is Mechlal Debayad Risha. Now we've been Dorish Tzion for thousands of years, through Zecher LeMikdash, among other things. Through Zeich LeMikdash, the different aspects of what went on in Beis HaMikdash that we, Midrabanan, recreate. So the Mishnah says that we shake lulav Chol Moed all over the world, Zeich LeMikdash. There is, I believe, a Zohar that talks about the Challah on Shabbos, being a Zeich of some aspect of the Challah on Shabbos, maybe the twelveness of the Challah on Shabbos, Zohar seems to say, is Zeich LeMikdash to the original 12-fold bread on Shabbos. What's the original 12 breads on Shabbos? Lechapanim, right? Lechapanim would be put on Shabbos. Next Shabbos would take them off, and the Kohanim with two Mishmaros would eat them. And the Shechter points out, the Machlokes, the Chassidim and the Vilna Gaon, what's the 12-ness? The Balav Chassidish Reb is they have 12 chal. They have two big chals and then 10 little buklach all around for a total of 12. Vilna Gaon understood that the 12 was not 12 chals, but Yudbeis Chatzoin, 12 halves. And if you have lechem mishnah each of three meals, and each time you cut them both in half, you have a total of 12 chatzon. There's a Rashba and Bracha seems to say al pi halacha you require cutting both. That's a sheet of the Rashba seems to be. the lechem mishnah requires not just that you have both, but you cut both. But this may give expression as Zohar, maybe say another aspect to it that it's not mehichas betzias lapash lechem mishnah. But mitam zecher lemikdash, and there are more. There are more examples of zecher lemikdash. So this concept seems to be what's going on here as well, according to many rishonim and achronim, that Ner Chanukah is a zecher lemikdash to the menorah shabbat mikdash. Interesting. Now, so let's consider two things. Number one, a question, and then number two, a leap forward. The question. Or actually, two questions. One question was, "What's with the seven? Well, why don't if we really try to make a Zeich HaMikdash, we should be lighting seven every day, the way they lit the menorah Hashem Mikdash with seven every day, not eight and not one." And number two, Zeich HaMikdash normally just means do the same action that they used to do. We don't give it the same. The items the same status. Usually, Zeich HaMikdash is in the Maisa, not in the Chal Hashem or the Chafta. The two questions, I think, may answer each other. But you asked me in the car this morning. Normally, Zeich LeMikdash is just shake a lulav the way they shook lulav in the Mikdash. Have 12 chals the way they had 12 chals in the Mikdash. It's usually just to recreate the action, not to give the... We don't give the chalas on Shabbos a status of lechem apanim. So why all of a sudden here... It's not just light the menorah, but it's also shamash la'orah, it's mosah shemrei, they're giving like a kedusha. So that's one strange thing. The other strange thing is if we're actually trying to do a zeich lemikdash, why don't we light seven lights every night? Now, the two questions, I think, may answer each other. The reason why you can't light seven lights every night, and this may also be an answer, it is one of the, I discovered as well, it actually is one of the official answers, to the famous kashrus Beis Yosef, right? Why don't you have seven nights of Hanukkah? Is that there is an Isser, Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Rosh Hashanah talks about this, and it's called Lahalach in Yeridayas in Kuf Mem Aleph 141. That you're now there are limitations on artwork. One of the artwork limitations is you're not allowed to make kalim or buildings that are too similar to items in the Mikdash. For instance, you're not allowed to make a seven branched candelabrum. Even if it's not exactly like the menorah Shem Mikdash, if it's close enough, without getting into too many details, to look in the Siman Kuf Memalef, but if it's close enough, it's an Isur Daraisa, it sounds like, to make a menorah Dugmas menorah Shem Mikdash. If there were seven nights of Hanukkah, people would probably have seven branched menorahs. And that's a concern of an Isur Daraisa. So number one, that may explain why there aren't seven nights of Hanukkah, perhaps. Certainly as a sniff. Number two... that probably explains why, even if you're trying to make a zeichel lemikdash, Chazal would not be misakin that you should be lighting a seven-branched candelabrum. Because that's a little too close for comfort. That's actually, you run into a problem of a Isur Daraisa, of making such a candelabrum. Then, once, it could also be that once the Zeichel HaMikdash is not as similar in Ma'asa as it normally would be because of our menorah limitations, perhaps that's why to buttress, to make it a thicker, more robust Zeichel HaMikdash, meaning the Ma'asa is quite different for the way we've done the Mikdash, so we beef it up by giving it some of the Heftza. Let's give the Nair a little bit of Kedusha to sort of add some more preps. But here's a critical point. Sure, let me repeat it once, and then I want to jump into a critical point. As an aside, again, there were two interesting questions raised. We try to make a Zerach HaMikdash, why are we like seven every night? If all it is Zerach HaMikdash, let's just do Hadlokas Haner. Why are we giving the Ner Kedusha? And I'm suggesting is there's a reason why the Masa Hadlaka cannot be too similar to the Maisa Hadlaka and the Mikdash because of this concern of not making a seven-branched menorah. And once the Masa is not quite as similar as we would like it to be, so perhaps we compensate by making it a little bit similar to Ner Shem Mikdash in terms of the status of the oil as well, as sort of 1 plus 1 equals 2. Now, but here's a critical thing to think about. When, then here we come back to the very beginning. Yubi Yochum and Zakai, the classic paradigmatic Zeichler, the Mikdash. When did Jews start shaking Lulav on Chol HaMoed outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Or according to Rambam, outside the Old City of Yerushalayim? When? After the Churban. Okay. Because that's when you need Zeichel HaMikdash. Right? According to the Zohar, when did Jews either start having 12 challahs or start cutting all 12? Cutting them into 12 pieces? Perhaps only after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So, if the Ner Chanukah is a Zeichel HaMikdash, so when do you think they would have started lighting Ner Chanukah? After the Churban, they're making a zecher to the zecher to Menorah Shel Mikdash. So Rav Zsolti makes a remarkable suggestion at the beginning of Siman Ayin Gimel. He says, "You know why? Let's go back to the very beginning. Remember, I told you we're going to reverge. We're going to get involved in developing a concept. We're going to bring it back to our original. Remember, our original kasha was what? We have a brace of my Chanukah. It doesn't say anything about Hadlakas HaMenorah. How ye talking?" And says Rav Zsolti, "You know why? Because when was that Brisa written? Remember what I told you at the very beginning? It's Megillas Chana, it's Megillas Tainis. It's the ancient Brisa that goes back to when? To the days of the Bayesheni. That Megillas Tainis largely lapsed after the Bayesheni. The whole thing was written over the course of Bayesheni. So Rav Zsolti writes, beginning of Siman Gilmesh and Zavitz, he says, well then, during the Bayesheni period, maybe they didn't have Hadlakas HaMenorah. This price is giving you the original takana of Yontav of Chanukah that was made a year or two after the next Chanukah, during the days of the Chashmonan. There, Masakin says Rav Zsolti, Hallel and Al Nisim. That's it. Ner Chanukah, he suggests, came later. After the Churban Bayis, Zecher LeMikdash, now, they made a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Now, obviously, it's a combination of the two. It wasn't just Zeichel HaMikdash, otherwise there'd be no reason to light it specifically on Chanukah. You can make in the Beis HaMikdash, you lit the menorah every single day of the year. But it seems like there was a combination of the two. It was only after you had both the motivation for the takana of Persume Nisa, and the Gemara is clear, it is Persume Nisa. Right? But it seems like by the way I would develop Rav Zsolti's idea is that you needed to have both elements. The reason, it could be that the main motivation to create the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah with Persume Nisa, but they needed also the structure of Zecher Leitz. Without getting too much into a different sugya, the Gemara does discuss in Megillah, how are they allowed to be misakin the first
the mitzvah of Megillah, of Kriyas HaMegillah, how are they able to misaken the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah? The girl works hard in that. Why isn't it Baal Tosef? To make a gzer is one thing, but to make a mitzvah more problematic, unless it can somehow fit into the framework of the pre-existing Dinim Daraisa. That's what the Gemara seems to say. So that maybe what's going on here. There was a desire to have Persume Nisa from the get-go, from the time of the Nes of Chanukah, but maybe there was it was problematic to have a Hadlakas HaMenorah, to just sort of create this whole holy new mitzvah. Once you have the Churban Bayis, that's not only Persume Nisa, it's also Zeichel HaMikdash, then anyway, they were able to misaken. So if Zsolti suggests, as I said before, a remarkable historical chiddush. They didn't light Hadlakas HaMenorah. There was no Ner Chanukah for the first couple hundred years of Chanukah. Because until after the Churban Bayis, they were saying Hallel, they were saying Al Nisan. Now, I have promised you three things. So far, we've done two, which is fine because we have some time left. Right. I told you, number one, we could develop this concept of Zeichel HaMikdash. We saw five nafkaminas. Right, and we thought about why maybe it doesn't play out fully in terms of the Maisa. We don't light seven, or that's maybe also has to do with why we do give it, we give it Kedusha as part of Zeichel HaMikdash. We saw that Zeichel HaMikdash is not just something local to Hanukkah. This is a global concept. The Mishnah talks about it already. Right? And the Rishonim here are fitting Ner Hanukkah into the pattern of Lulav and other mitzvahs. Which then led us, as I told you, number two, what I wanted to do is use this concept of Zeichel HaMikdash to answer our kasha, what's going on with the Hashmata in the Braisa. How come their Chanukah is missing? Rav Zsolti says, because of course, it didn't come until later. The later Tanam, the Amaron, they're talking about their Chanukah, because by that was after the Churban Bayis. But the Megillas Tainis goes back to the earliest days of Ner Chanukah, of the Yontif of Chanukah, when he suggests there was no Ner Chanukah. But I told you also, in addition to developing the concept of Zeichel HaMikdash more fully, and number two, seeing how that concept can be Yashav Akasha, I promised you that we would also explore, is it really true there's even anything missing? So we're going to forge ahead. I'll be glad to take a question afterwards. Because is it really true that it's missing? Point three. Is it really true that Hanukkah is missing?
No.
Well, like you said, I mean, yeah, we looked in the Braisa, it wasn't there. Can you show me anyone who thinks it is there? Can you show me anyone who thinks it's there? Barak Kohen. Makotev Arambam. Oh, number one, two things. Number one, the Rambam says black on white. Paragimel halacha gimel. This is where he gets started with Hilchas Chanukah. He puts Megillah and Chanukah together. So first two, Prakim, Parag Alvin, Bezar, Megillah. Prakim, Gimel, and Dalar, Chanukah. So he begins the first three halachas of Paragimel with the story of Chanukah. As an aside, the Rav talks about why all of a sudden Chanukah gives the story of the Yontif. No other Yontif does the Rambam write the story of Purim or Pesach. All of a sudden, Chanukah writes a story. Why? I think Rob points out in a recorded shiur, simple answer. Because the Rambam was writing a Mishnah Torah is a compendium of Torah Shebal Peh. He writes, Torah Shebal Chsav you have, and this is going to be an abridged version of a Torah Shebal Peh. So the other Yom Tovim all have their stories in the Torah Shebal Chsav. Whether it's in Parshas, whether it's Chumash Shemos, or Megillas Esther, but all the Yom Tovim have their story in Torah Shebal Chsav in the Tanakh, except for Chanukah for obvious reasons, because it happened after Chasimus HaTanakh. Chanukah only happens hundreds of years later. So the whole story of Chanukah only appears in Torah Shebal Peh, which is why the Rambam felt that the story belongs in his Mishnah Torah. And now, as you look through the... So Halacha Paragim Halacha Aleph is the crisis. Paragim Halacha Beis is the Yeshua, or specifically the Nes HaShemen. I guess if you like, Halacha Aleph is Nes Melchama, the crisis, the war, the Nes Melchama. Halacha Beis is the Nes HaShemen. Halacha Gimel is the Halacha. Mipnei Zeh, Gimel in Rambam Hilchos Chanukah. Mipnei Zeh, because of all this, Hizkinu Chacham Sheba'osa, Adar the Chacham of that generation, were Mesakein. These 8 days
which begin Chilasim Ilel Chamisha Vesim Bekislev, they should be days of Simcha and Hallel, Umadlik Behem Haneiros Be'erev Al Pizchei Abat Mechalayla V'layla. Mishmolos Halelos. They were the Chacham of those of that generation was Sakin 8 days, which begin with the 25th of Kislev, during which there's Simcha, there's Hallel, and there's Hadlakas HaMenorah. Hadlakas Neiros. Laharos Ulagalos Hanes. And he goes on to say, these days are called Hanukkah, and there's Isser Hesped Vatanis, just like Purim. Okay. Now, so number one, two things. Barak has really pointed out two things. When you say that the Rambam disagrees and thinks that there was Ner Hanukkah from the beginning, number one, he says, Befeirush, the Chacham of that Dar, were Masakin, Simcha, Halal, and Ner Hanukkah. So the Rav Zsolti's Teretz is not available. Right? If Zsolti's Teretz is not available, because the Rambam says Befeirush, that Ner Hanukkah was there from the beginning. Now, here's the thing, the Kasha is also not relevant because. Yeah. I have a question. A what if, or a understand?
I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
Why Rav Zsolti can just do the Rambam?
We do the Rambam, exactly. That's the problem. The Rambam clearly doesn't believe that Ner Hanukkah was a later takana. He thinks by the reason
of the Rambam. How can he say this in the face of the Rambam?
Well, he's saying it within Rashi. Watch the following. See, we have to be, as I said before, in terms of skills in reading Rishonim, one of the most critical things in learning Rishonim well and thoroughly, in making proper diukim and knowing what to be sensitive to and how to ask kashya, how to give terutzim, is you have to have an awareness of what genre the Rishonim is writing. What type of sefer is Rishonim trying to write? And on a very basic level, Pirush Rashi, Tosfos, Rashba, are written al Seder, they're Perushim al Seder HaGemara. Right? The Rambam is not. The Rambam is a Sefer Halacha. So number one, you're going to find Chidushim on a Gemara if you're looking at a Rishon wrote Chidushim Perushim. You know where to look. Right? If you're looking at Rambam, how are you going to find a Chidush on the Gemara? If no, it's a lot harder to know where to look. But it's more than that. The Rambam is clear in many ways about what it is that he's trying to do. Not only is he trying to write a Sefer Halacha, he was trying to write a carefully organized, highly organized, abridged version of all the Maskanos of the Torah Shabbat. And there's a lot to say about that, but for now, specifically, he writes in a letter to Pinchas Adayin and elsewhere that he's trying as much as possible to quote Chazal Kitzurasam. He's going to leave out things that he thinks are not relevant to Halacha, with things that Shita we don't hold like. If he thinks it's a Machlokes HaSugya, so only quote the Sugya that he thinks he passed like. But whatever he's quoting, he's trying as much as possible to quote Kitzurasam. He's not just trying to write his own language, he's trying to abridge the Torah Shel Peh. So say, oh, he'll quote a line from a Gemara, a line from a Sefrei, a line from a Sefer, but as much as possible, he's trying to quote Kitzurasam. So it's often useful to ask you, so much so that the Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer where he really is continuing the work that was begun by the classical notes that came like the Kesef Mishnah to say, like, every single line, where is it from? Like, the Rambam gives three examples of something. So it could be three examples of food that's edible raw. So those are random examples. It could be one example is a Gemara and Avodah Zarah Nunaf, and one example is Yerushalmi. Like, everything is. The Rambam makes pretty clear everything as much as possible is Korin Chazal. If he's saying something, a Chiddush, he'll say, it seems to me that. Otherwise, he's Korin Chazal. He may be coining the Gemara with a different understanding, interpretation than Rashi has, and other Rishonim have. But, so now, in the moments that remain, take a look at Halacha Gimel and ask yourself, and Halacha Beis for that matter, and ask yourself, what text of the Torah Shel Peh is Maimonides quoting in Halacha's Beis and Gimel? What text is he quoting? That they came into the Heichal. Where's that from? The Abraisa of Chafal Beis, the Abraisa of Megillah Sinus. How does the Abraisa go on? There's been listen to Halacha Gimel. They were Masakein Shmonas Yamim that begin on Chafal of Kislev. Where is that from? That's the first line of Megillah's Tainus. That's how it starts. 8 days which begin the Chafeg Mamish. Right? And he goes on to say, what were they misaking? Simcha, Hallel, and Neros Chanukah. What's missing? from the Brisa. Hoda, where's Hoda? The answer is, he didn't leave it out. That's Neiros Chanukah. As a matter of fact, if you look at the end, he says Beferish, and Rav Chaim Friedlander talks about this. Halach Perek Dalei Chid Beis. He talks about Neiros Chanukah as a not just a way of telling people Shevach Hakel Hoda Yolo. It's a way of saying thank you. So Rav Zolotis suggests that when the Rambam, it's Rashi who says in Ner Chanukah it doesn't there, because Rashi the Hoda means Al Nisim. But he says, no, the Rambam would translate it, Hal the Hoda means Hal and Ner Chanukah. As a matter of fact, he points out that the Riaz over here seems to say that as well. But he says, if you put all the pieces together, it's pretty clear that's what the Rambam believed. And that is why, Rabbosai, the Rambam believed that the Ner Chanukah was there from the outset. Al Nisim is a detail. That's true. He quotes that in Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Tefillah. But that's not the core mitzvah. The core mitzvahs for the Rambam are Halal v'Hoda, I mean Halal Ner Chanukah, which is, by the way, why Perek Gimel Hilchos Chanukah is all about Halal, Perek Daz is all about Ner Chanukah, because those are the two core mitzvahs for the Rambam, the very first text. Hallel, Hoda, which means for the Rambam, Hallel and Ner Chanukah. And that even explains, and with this we close, that even explains, by the way, why it is the Rambam in Dalet Vav does not at all take the approach of the...
We're going to start at 12:30.
The Rambam does not at all, in Perek Dalet Vav, take the approach of the Baal HaMa'or to also establish the Ora, it reads it totally differently. You take a look, you'll see, and that's l'shitaso that the Zeich Lemikdash is not an issue, is not an issue in play whatsoever. He does not quote the Sheiltos. That also works l'shitaso. So it seems like there are two ways of looking at this. Either we see Ner Chanukah as Zeich Lemikdash, which is a very powerful concept, and we see may even have relevance in terms of the history of Ner Chanukah, and that's one thing to think about. Chanukah is a time of reconnected to Mikdash and being Dorish Tzion in a very real way. The other thing to think about, which we'll develop hopefully more at other times, is to see Ner Chanukah as a very profound expression of Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And noticing, it's not just Mefarsim Enes, it's not just knowing a fact. Be mefarsim enes means saying thank you. It means an emotional reaction, not just knowing what happened, but reacting to that and feeling hoda. That's part and parcel of history. That's part and parcel of Persu Benisa is shevach hakel v'hodayalo. The language he uses in Perek Dalet Chid Beis, and he sees it for the Rambam. That goes back to the earliest source of all the Megillas Tainis called Ner. The first name for Ner Chanukah for the Rambam is hoda. That's truly a profound concept. Two things, Mikdash Hodah, a lot to think about over the work on over the course of Hanukkah.